How many are you glad that Jesus found you? Amen. How many are you glad that you can see what you used to couldn't see? Amen. And most of all, how many are you glad to be living the life that Jesus Christ has given us? You know, sometimes we take for granted, we go to church every Sunday, especially at 8 o'clock, y'all are regular folk. That's what we'd call it in the church, you're regular folk. And sometimes being regular folk in the church, we forget the purpose of God. The purpose of God is not that we come to church. The purpose of God is that we live the life He's given us. And I want you to know that God's given us, every one of us in Jesus Christ, a new life. We're a new creation with a new purpose, with a new destination, with new happenings about us. We're no longer dead. We've been made alive in Christ. We're no longer temporary. We have been expanded to the eternal. We are no longer limited, but now we dwell with unlimited possibilities. God is in our lives, not away from our lives, but in our lives. Oh, the blood of Jesus that cleanses our sin. I want to start here. How you live is deeply important to declaring who you believe. And what we believe is seen more in what we do than what we say. I tell the football team this quite often. I tell them there's three types of people that play football. They're posers, those who like to wear a jersey, those who have shoulder pads, those who have a helmet, but those who don't want to put in the work, the effort, nor the discipline to ever see the field. We know there's a lot of posers in the church. They show up, they raise their hand, they say amen, they carry a Bible, they know John 3:16, they have a form of religion, but they don't live its life. They forget that there's a divine Jesus that's connected to it. And you know what? Then there's players. You know what we need in the church? We need a house full of players. We need a house full of players. And let me tell you what, the players are the ones that make the difference. The players, now you never know their names. Their names never get in highlights. They're not on the highlight film. They're just players. But you can't have progress unless you have players. And the players are these people, and a lot of you are these players. They faithfully come to worship. They faithfully learn the teachings of Jesus, learn the teachings of God. They faithfully seek to build honest, healthy relationships with other human beings. They faithfully use what they have to declare the kingdom of God. And they faithfully, without duty or response or organization, pray without ceasing. These are the players. These are the people that really stabilize the community of faith. They just get it done. How many of y'all know some people in your life that just get it done? You say, well, how in the world did they do that? Well, you see, they understand once they were lost, but Jesus found them. They understand once they were limited in their eyesight and they really couldn't see all that was going on. But now their eyes have been opened where they can do what? See beyond the present moment. And guess what they know without a doubt? They have taken John 10:10 literally. They have said, the Lord Jesus Christ gave up His life so I might have a full and abundant life. So I'm going to step into it and I'm going to start living what I have in Christ instead of complaining about what I don't have on here in earth. And their life begins to expand. Well, there is a third type of player on the football field, and there's a third type of player in the church. These are called playmakers. Now, you know what? I want to tell you something. Don't seek to be a playmaker. Seek to be a player. And do well in your play, and God will make you a playmaker. Now, a lot of us want to be playmakers. Why? We'll be the star. You see, but I want to tell you today, the playmaker of all playmakers has already been risen. His name is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has done what none of us could ever do, what the church can't do. He has looked at the world and He said, I will sacrifice who I am so you may be what you can be. Oh, the blood of what? Jesus. That's the ultimate playmaker. Amen? So guess what God wants us to be? Players in the kingdom or workers of the harvest. So go with me to Matthew chapter 9. And it's part of growing is an old-fashioned concept here in the church. You ready? I mean, y'all ready for an old-fashioned concept? Watch this. This is going to blow you away. Work! A forgotten reality in American culture. Work! You live in a nation that is prosperous because the people in this nation were willing to work! I come from a family where my father didn't come from much. And you know how he got to where he was? He didn't wait on the government to hand him a check. He didn't wait on somebody else to do it for him. He didn't talk about his dilemma. He learned something, and believe me, he passed it down. Work! Work! I heard it 1,000 zillion times when I was growing up. Our Saturday morning entertainment was planting trees. I never got that. But guess what? My father was mentoring me. He was teaching me. He was being a spiritual guide, and I didn't even know it. As we drove to Wilco, it used to be Wilco right here, and picked up a bunch of sticks to go plant in the ground that Saturday morning. You know what my father taught me? My father got excited about working. He would wake up early. And he would wake me up early. And he'd say, this morning we're going to Wilco. Now, there were a whole lot of other things at Wilco that I wanted other than some sticks. Had plastic bags on the bottom. And we would load up that old Chevrolet Impala in the truck with a bunch of those tree saplings. And guess what we would do together? We would go work. And we'd learn, I learned how to run, use those post hole diggers and the shovel. And we would work all day. And at the end of the day, guess what you had? A sense of accomplishment. Today we share the stories of those work when I go to his house. He said, do you remember those trees? And now they stand about 30 feet tall. I said, Dad, I'm noticing something about those trees. The bigger they get, the more I hurt. Those trees are symbols that I'm on the way out of here. The more they flourish, the more I realize time is passing. You see, you and I got to learn to enjoy the work of God. And I want to tell you something. Working in the power of the Holy Spirit, working with Jesus Christ, and working in the kingdom of God is an enjoyable thing. How many of you know that Jesus, everything he did was a joy to him and not a pain to him? For the joy of the cross, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, for the joy of what God had called him to, Jesus scorned the shame of the cross. He said, this cross is an agonizing thing to you Jews. This cross is the reality that there is a group of people oppressing you. This cross is a symbol that you better not rebel and you better pay your taxes and you better do what they say. I'm going to get up on that cross to declare to you, I will take the power of humanity and declare it null and void so that you, my children, my creation, my people may know the power of God, the presence of Jesus, and that his kingdom has arrived. That's the power of that cross. Jesus took an instrument of death and turned it into life. Jesus took our sin, which is dead, gnarly, void, and empty, and said, now we can have life. He told his disciples this in Matthew. He said, we got to have some workers. How many of y'all know that's the hardest thing to find in the church? Everybody wants to pray, everybody wants to sing, everybody wants to preach, and everybody wants to give their opinion. You know what nobody wants to do? Work. Sometimes you got to move chairs. Sometimes you got to watch the babies. You got to watch the babies that are coming into the church. I remember when we first started Hillview, we had some real spiritual people. Most of them are gone now, thank God. They've moved on to plague some other pastor. And they all had these spiritual gifts. None of them had the gift to watch the babies in the nursery. You'd ask them, can you help out here? Well, that's not my spiritual gift. You see, what those people don't have is the heart of God. Because guess what they forget? Who the playmaker is. They're not the playmaker. I'm not the playmaker. You're not the playmaker. The church is not the playmaker. Jesus Christ is the playmaker. And boy, I got good news. Jesus Christ cares about every little baby that's born in this congregation. And Jesus Christ wants them to have a home. Jesus Christ cares about every four-year-old that's born into this congregation. Jesus Christ cares about that wayward teenager. He cares about that parent that's off track. He cares about people that have messed up because he comes with good news. Y'all see what I'm talking about? You want to get spiritual? Start working. You really want to discover what God's about? Start being a servant. If all your faith is coming and hearing one of our pastors bring a sermon, you probably aren't experiencing it yet. You know what I found? Football on TV is a whole lot different than football on the field. You know what I found? I can never catch fish like they do on those bass shows. I guarantee you a race car going 200 plus miles an hour, when you're sitting in the car, it feels a whole lot different than when you're just watching it go around the track on TV. What do you think? I guarantee you riding one of those rodeo bulls is a whole lot different in reality than it is watching it on TV. What do you think? And see, sometimes we want to live our faith like that, don't we? We want to be observers of the faith. And I really want to encourage you in this. God did not call us to observe. He called us to participate. And that means you're going to get your hands dirty. Guess what I found? I find the hardest thing to do as a pastor in the church is to get people involved in the everyday things that make a great difference. And I want to show you this. Jesus was just really cool. Look what he said to his disciples. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages. I want to stop right there. Jesus is on the move. If you want your faith to grow, you got to understand Jesus is with you as you go. I know the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. It says that one time. It says get on the move all the time. In fact, it says be on the move while you're being still. Why are you being still? So that you might be energized so you can get on the move. Does that make sense? See, I believe this. How many of y'all believe this? I believe that God has created us to accomplish, not to exist. He's created us to accomplish. I believe everybody's got a divine purpose. This is what it is, to fall in love with Jesus. And when you fall in love with Jesus, then you take what you're good at and you let the kingdom of God come out of it. How many of y'all can live with that? And Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues. Guess what Jesus did? He recognized the establishment. People ask me all the time, Ayers, why do you still fool with the denomination? Because God's not done with it. God's not done with you. You say, well, it's got a lot of problems. I said, you know, I got a lot of problems and God's not done with me yet. How many of y'all still got a lot of problems and God's not done with you? See, here, well, listen, you want to derail your spiritual growth? Just think you've arrived. How many of y'all can live with this? I'm not going to arrive till I seen. What do you think, Earl? Can you work with that? Have you arrived yet, Earl? You've flown planes, you've written books, you stayed in the library for a while. You're probably the smartest man in this congregation. And you hadn't arrived yet? Man, where's that lead Merle? See what I'm saying? We got to keep rolling. We got to keep rolling. Amen? We have not arrived yet. How many of y'all remember when you were coming into that young adulthood? You were 20 years old, 21 years old, or you just graduated from a college. How many of y'all had arrived then? Boy, I remember being a 21-year-old pastor. Man, I knew everything about the church. I knew how to change. I would sit in those meetings and I thought, just wait till I get there. God's going to have the church of his dreams. Guess what I wanted to be? The playmaker! And the Lord whispered to me and said, you've never been a playmaker. I don't know why you think you're going to be one for me. And guess what I found? The greatest joy is just being in the play. Doing what God called you to do. Now, I'm going to tell you some things everybody can do. I sense this in Christianity. Everybody's looking for something special. Do you all sense that sometimes? Now, what's interesting, I only find this in America. When I go to other countries and I'm with believers in other countries, Shane, when you all were in Haiti, you all didn't see this in Haiti, did you? What do you think? Did you see people wanting to be special, or were they fine just being in the community of faith? I mean, if they just carried the water to church, that was a great thing, yeah? Yeah. I got one of our staff people here reminds me of how great it is to be a player in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my ministers is Rodney Gerrels. Rodney Gerrels reminds me of what Jesus has called us to be. Rodney, man, if he's watching the parking lot, he's doing it for the glory of God. Rodney, man, if he's hauling a bag of trash out, this is Jesus' trash. Boom. You know, I mean, if Rodney's, you know, we get worried about him when he starts wiring stuff together. We don't know if he's locating NASA or whatever. But you know what, man? He's just doing it for the glory of God. That's what I'm saying. And you know what? Rodney reminds me every day. He said, you know, that's what you're supposed to be like, Harris. Just as you go, declare the glory of God. My good friend who's now in heaven, Jerry, our good buddy, that was with us in men's ministry. Jerry reminded me he'd walk on that cane. He'd go to the coffee bar. He'd shake hands. He reminded me, just as you go, you're supposed to be a player. Ronnie Wallace, as he used to come in here, he's now in the great cloud of witnesses. He used to make coffee at 5 o'clock in the morning every Sunday. Nobody saw him, but they sure did like his coffee. And you know what? He just did what God told him to do, and he was a player in the kingdom. Great things came out of that. Our recent brother that went to the Lord Jesus Christ, Keith Ward, man. Keith, great brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keith came to this church when it was down and out. Keith joined this church when it was on its way down. They even told him, we may sink the ship. Keith said, I'm going to join anyway. You know, Keith, man, he was a brother to me. He looked, and I never will forget one day, Keith Ward, we were walking between these two buildings before there was an atrium. And Keith said, you know, young preacher? I said, yeah, what? I said, I probably don't know. He said, the devil's been asleep on this church for a long time. He didn't have to do much. And he said, he's been kicked back with his legs crossed on his desk. But he said, you know what? He's at least sitting up and smoking a cigar now. You be on the alert. I didn't exactly know what Keith was telling me to 5 years later. And I found out I better get on the alert. You see, it's brothers and sisters together just doing what they're called to do. Just doing what they're called to do. It's every one of you that teach Sunday school or Bible study Sunday after Sunday. It's every one of you that are in a WANA meeting on Wednesday night, making sure that these kids know Jesus. That's going from town to village, from town to village, from town to village. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. In the name of Jesus, you're already special. Now just be in play. Amen? Just be in play. We've made this thing way too hard in the church. I'm telling you, we've made it way too hard for years. Everybody thinks they got to be a playmaker before they can participate. And all you got to do is just step out there and start playing. And let me show you what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues. Now guess what? We're supposed to teach each other. If we will be faithful to what we're supposed to do, we'll automatically be teaching each other. Yeah? How many of y'all know you'll automatically be teaching each other if you'll just roll with it? Parents, let me tell you, you teach your children in everything that you do. I'm going to break a myth. Sometimes we think we got to sit down for an hour a day with our children and have some kind of spiritual devotion. That's nice and that's great. And if your family system has that luxury, hallelujah. I don't know too many that do. Do you, Pastor Mike? I don't know too many that have that, but I'm going to tell you what, parents, you better be a devotional. That's the difference. You better be the devotional. I had one lady, she came out of one of these high-tech women conferences. And she said, my husband's not spiritual. I said, where have you been? She said, a women's conference. I said, let me ask you a question. Were there any men there? She said, no. I said, so you had a woman teaching you about what a man was supposed to be. I said, there's only one thing about the difference between a man's conference and a woman's conference. At least a man's conference ain't dumb enough to tell everybody what a woman's supposed to be because we realize we don't know. Well, let me help you something, women. Your husband's spirituality will never be like yours. And God help you when it is because that means he's a flat sissy. He's not made to be a woman. Let me tell you, you got a spiritual husband when he gets up early in the morning and he trucks himself to work and he provides for your family. The Bible says that is very spiritual. Yeah? He says those men who neglect their families and won't provide for them are worse than those who don't believe. He's being what? Spiritual. You ever thank him for being spiritual? Honey, thank you for busting it today so that our family can move on. See what I'm saying? The things that are in play are a big deal. They're a big deal. Husbands, you ever thank your wife for making sure all the domestic affairs are in order in the house? If it's like my house, my wife is president of domestic affairs. I wouldn't know where to go if she didn't keep, we need to be here, we need a man. I thank her for that. What's she doing? In everyday play, glorifying God. Jesus went to the synagogues, the towns, and the villages, and he was teaching. Well, what was he teaching? That there is a Savior that has come. There is a new moment in human history. There's going to be a divine interruption on a cross and a resurrection. I am the one God has sent. Now watch, there was a deep rejection from the Jews on Jesus. You know why? He was too ordinary. How many of you all miss Jesus because he's too ordinary? How many of you all remember that movie Indiana Jones when he's looking for the Holy Grail? And we finally go through all that stuff and he gets to the Grail Room. Indiana Jones knew the heart of who? Jesus, what cup did he pull down? The wooden one. What cup do you look for? The gold shiny one, one of all the rubies. That's got to be God. That's got to be God. That's got to be God. He would be dynamic. He would be prosperity theology. The wooden cup. See, you got to know the heart of Jesus. Thank God he's got this heart. Jesus takes ordinary things and turns them into extraordinary moments. How many of y'all are proud of that? That's why Jesus talked a lot to farmers. Why? Well, since that was the top employer of the day, that was one reason. You know what farmers do? They take ordinary things and turn them into extraordinary moments, yeah? They take little seeds and they go play in the dirt and they put them in the dirt and come fall, what happens? An extraordinary moment called a harvest. But let me tell you what, if you don't plant the seeds and you don't work the ground, there is no harvest. Same in the church. Same in the church. You got to plant seeds. You got to work the harvest. You got to water. You got to toil. You got to move. We're going to talk about that a little more next Sunday. But let me move on. How many of y'all are ready to be this? This is one thing every one of us can do as a player. These are some fundamentals. Preaching the good news of the kingdom. How many of y'all are good news people? I brought this by you before, but I don't think we've caught on totally yet. What do you think? How many of y'all are good news people? How many people are excited to see you because you bring good news? Let me let you in on something. If you want to change your conversation, quit telling everybody how you feel. Can I let you in on a big secret? Nobody really cares. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about how I feel. Nobody even listens to how I feel. They're too busy, ready to tell me how they what. Come on, let's be honest about it, yeah? I mean, I hear it every day. Well, preacher, I feel like, who cares what you feel? What does God say? You want to change your life? Move from what you feel to what God has said. You see, Jesus could feel the people, so he wanted to give them the truth of God's word so they could be released, so they no longer had to be harassed. I mean, y'all glad to know that God will take your ordinary moment and turn it into an extraordinary event. Here's some very spiritual things. A healthy marriage, that's pretty spiritual today. You want to talk about a witness, just stay married. You'll be phenomenal. People talk to Elizabeth and I all the time. Y'all been married for 20-something years? They look at Elizabeth and go, how? Now see, there's a testimony of Jesus. By Jesus Christ, all possibilities are there. You can hang in there, amen? How you stay married, you better take Jesus in the center of that marriage. How do you do good business? You surrender to Jesus' principles. You want to blow people away in business? Be honest. You want to blow people away in business in today's times? Do what you say you're going to do. It will fry people's minds. If you say I'm going to be there at 5 o'clock, you're there what? At 5 o'clock. It'll blow people in this society. I mean, they'll be going, whoa, what are you doing here? Well, I said I'd be here at 5 o'clock. I'm going to be here at 5 o'clock. That blows people away. Because nobody's on time because they always come in late and then they tell you how busy they are. Like anybody really cares. I don't care how busy you are. You gave me a verbal commitment. You told me you were going to be there. You told me you were a person of integrity. You told me you had a relationship with Jesus. You told me you owned up to the standards of Jesus. Let me tell you, Jesus was never late. He was what? On time. When you cut a business deal, even if you do the contract wrong, you'll take the loss to honor your word. How many people you know will do that? I love this today. Well, I miscalculated and it's going to be a little more. You know what you should say? Tough. You should have studied a little harder in your math class. Whose fault is that? Watch this. Here's one thing. You want to be a great witness today and share good news with people? When it's your fault, claim it. Nobody does that anymore, Chuck. How many of you all have ever heard somebody say this? That was my fault. I apologize. I did not come through the way I needed to come through. How many of y'all have ever heard that today? Here's what I hear. Well, I don't have a job because the man's holding me down. Well, then how did all the Hispanics get a job? Well, I can't get a job because I came from a bad family. Who didn't? I can't be any better than I am because somebody said bad things about me. Hold on, let me tell you something. When we start talking like that as believers in Jesus Christ, we turn around and spit on the power of the cross. Jesus said, I've come with a mission. You don't have to be harassed anymore. I mean, y'all are glad of that. Me too! Look what he said. He taught in the synagogues, even though they kicked him out. He was bringing good news. I just want to tell you, go be a good news person. Let people know your life's been changed. Don't just say it. Let them know. Do weird things. Honor your word. Be there. Work. Go the extra mile. Weren't these teachings of Jesus? Jesus said that Roman soldier asked you to carry that pack for a mile, which was an obligation. To anybody the Roman soldier asked, he said, don't only carry it a mile, go ahead and hike it another mile just to let the brother know you want a blessing. He wants to heap obligation on you, you heap blessing on him. See what I'm saying? Jesus had this thing down. How many of y'all want to do this? I want to do just enough Jesus to get into heaven. You see, that's what posers want to do. They want to go to just enough practices to make sure they get a jersey and get to picture day. So one day they can look and say, look, I got my picture in the program. Joe, you were a player. It takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Players get hit. Players get bruises. Players get sore. Not too many people want to be a player. And if you notice, all the posers always talk about all the players. It's the same thing in the church. Everybody that's talking, check this. I want to teach y'all how to discern some things. Listen, when I hear somebody talking about all the things they're going to do, guess what? I check their resume. How many of y'all check their resume? I look and see if they've done anything. Lord, I've pastored some people. They've been praying for 50 years to witness to somebody. You need to get a prayer life. If your prayer life is so weak that in 50 years you ain't made a connection yet, you're probably talking to the wrong guy. Because when you pray to Jesus, you'll have a connection. You know what the problem is? It ain't God. I mean, I hear people say stupid stuff in prayer like this. Lord, I just want to know if it'll be your will if I lead somebody to the Lord. Have you not read the Great Commission? Go ye therefore. That's pretty clear. You don't have to ask God about things He's already put in motion. Note that. He said, go tell them. Go be good news. Go teach and preach and share. Well, guess what he was doing? He also did this. He healed sickness and disease. He healed sickness and disease. Guess what? We ought to be a healing people. How many of y'all know in our church we believe in healing? We're kind of weird. Guess where we do most of our healing prayers? In the hospital. You know why? That's where most sick people are. I don't know why the healers don't go to the hospital. You don't need a studio. You need to go to the hospital. That's where sick people go. Studios are where Hollywood goes. Amen. Where'd Jesus go? Towns and the villages. Note, his healing was never a spectacle. You know why? The healing is a crumb of the kingdom. He didn't come preaching healing. He came doing healing so people might understand the kingdom. Now let me help you with something here. How many of y'all glad to know everybody's well in heaven? No, come on, let me get it. Everybody's well in heaven. I mean, let's think about it for a minute. No more pimples in heaven. Isn't that great? Amen. No more weight gain in heaven. Is that not exciting or what? You can be 3,500 years old in heaven and never have to worry about a weight problem. Isn't that cool? And you get to eat off the banquet table, and I guarantee you they still fry food on that banquet table because they got good things in heaven. We're not going to have baked stuff. Have big fried chicken legs up there, them big ones, you know. Medieval, big old chicken legs. We get to eat those fried chicken legs, and we're going to be healthy. Amen? Ladies, you can eat as much chocolate as you want up there and still have a heavenly disposition going on. Amen? It's called heaven, the kingdom of God. He said, but listen, here's what healing is. It is a precursor to the great things that are coming. And there is healing. There have been people healed in this congregation every week. Now, I'll tell you what, healing comes in three dimensions, too. It's not just physical healing. Watch this. A lot of us need to be healed in our minds because that's really what's got our bodies sick. Now, when you get healed in the spirit, that's the one the blood of the Lamb does. Your spirit comes to life, then healing starts lining up in your body. Amen? This is real stuff. I'm not telling you stuff that's out. This is real stuff. Jesus healed diseases. Now, did he heal all the diseases? Well, he healed the ones that he was in that town. But when Jesus was resurrected, there were still sick people around. But you know what? He heals. Amen? And you know what? I think the church has been scared of healing because sometimes we pray for healing and people die. Because we don't understand this. They got healed. If they're in Christ, they got healed. I mean, the logic's off here. God's not going to heal us every time we get sick because guess what he says? One day you're going to die. And most of us die from a what? A sickness. Unless people like me, you know, ride motorcycles and stuff, you can go out some other ways. But he says you're going to die. But when you die, you're going to what? That sounds like good news to me. How many of y'all got that good news? How many of y'all got that good news? I mess with funeral directors all the time. They just don't get me sometimes. They said, heir's death really doesn't bother you. I said, not now. I'm in Jesus Christ. This is the worst thing that could happen to me in life. I can die, and that means I'm going to live in the kingdom of God. And when you really believe that, that's no longer just a cliche in some religious institution, but that is a way of life for you, you'll start living. I believe we will never start living until we cease to be fearful of dying. Got to live. You say, well, how many of you ever been around these people? I got a few people in my life. They worry about everything. They get on the plane, they worry about it crashing. Is that good news? Huh? They get on the interstate and they're worried about what? Getting hit. Man, that's called extreme paranoia. Quit looking at everything that could go wrong. How about looking at everything that could go right? The worst possible thing that could happen to you as a believer in Jesus Christ is you die and go to heaven. Boom. Mr. Jackson, you knew that reality, didn't you? You had a little heart surgery. He walked in. He said, Doc, I believe we got some problems here. Doc fixed him up. A couple of days, he jumped out of the bed and said, we're all right now. Let's keep rolling. But he knew he was a winner either way. Amen? Winner either way. That's why I was able to say goodbye to my grandparents. See you later is what I told them. I said, I'll see you later. You've done your dance. Thanks for leaving some good things behind. Thanks for leaving some good news behind. Now I'm going to pick that up and run my race. Somebody else will run it behind me. You see what I'm saying? We're all in this together. Let's be players in the kingdom. Well, look what Jesus said. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. How many of y'all know some harassed, helpless people? How many of y'all are some of them? Hello. Let me give you a key word out of here, compassion. Hillview, you got this. But I want to tell you, let's take it to the next level. How many of y'all believe everybody can be saved? That wasn't very loud. Y'all had one of them Calvinists get a hold of you already? Them Calvinists, they play an easy theology. Some will be saved, some will be damned. Well, who are you to judge another human being? The foundation of your theory is flawed from the very get-go. Who can know the mind of God? We preached on that 4 weeks ago. Nobody! Not even Al Mohler! It's the heart of God! And it can be known through Jesus. Everybody can be redeemed. This looks like an everybody can be redeemed kind of text to me. Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Keith, he saw the crowds and he said, they're lost, but I can find them. How many of y'all glad to know that when we were lost, Jesus knew where we were? How many of y'all have had that moment in life where you didn't know where you were going, but you had this sense God did? That's why he stopped you from falling off the cliff. Guess what? They were helpless. How many of y'all have ever been helpless? Hey, this is real deal, man. You get involved in some of the stuff we got going on in this world today. You start getting addicted to certain chemicals we got out there and certain hallucinogenic experiences. Guess what? You stay on that long enough, you can become helpless. Amen. Amen? In recovery language, we call it powerless. That's the same thing. I mean, you could actually substitute this word here. Jesus saw them and they had been harassed and they were powerless over their condition, helpless over their condition. But Jesus said, I bring good news. You don't have to stay that way. Amen. See, that's the miracle of grace. Even as believers, then we're what? When we believe, we become a what? A sheep, a follower of Jesus Christ. Sheep have some problems. Guess what we tend to do? We wonder. How many of y'all have ever wondered? How many of y'all have ever wandered off the path? You knew you was wandering off the path when you was wandering off the path. You knew that was a better way to go, but you just kept wandering over here because you wanted to see what was going on over here. Huh? How many of y'all have ever done that? How many of y'all have ever got in trouble because you just wanted to see what that was? How many of y'all did that when you were younger? How many of y'all had this theory? Well, I need to experiment with some of life's experiences so I'll be more full. How many of y'all found out you just became more harassed? Jesus said, I have a way, and my way is good, and it's not a helpless way. It's an empowering way. Y'all getting this? Now, guess what? When you start serving God and using your life just for what God wants you to do and wants you to be, guess what? You won't be as harassed. You notice people that got somewhere to go, they get there. Amen? How many of y'all have noticed that theory? When you got someplace to go, what do? You get there. Watch this. I'm going to tell you, we got someplace to go. This is our purpose, to share the good news wherever we are. You better be about that. That was important to Jesus. Isn't that neat? A lot of y'all do this. You can't go to Kroger and see Kim Gentry without feeling better. You know why? Woman smiles all the time. Now, I don't know if that's got something to do with her husband. Just he lifts her up as a radiant bride, but she smiles all the time, doesn't she? Amen. How many of you ever been to Kroger? If you got to go to Kroger, you know, sometimes I got to go to Kroger, you know, get some flowers or something. I have to get flowers for dances or something. I don't know why, but when you have a dance, you got to have flowers. Found that out the first dance recital I went to. So now I go to the dance recital looking like a landscaper. But I have to go to Kroger. And guess what, Kim? I said, Kim, I need some flowers. I've got this dance thing. I need some flowers. You know, I don't know anything about flowers. I need some flowers. See, flowers don't make sense to me. You spend money on something that's going to wilt in 2 days. I don't get it. But it sure does change things if you got them. Amen? It's a worthy investment on that. Amen? Men, there's a tip. See, that's the difference between men and women. Men, do flowers make sense to y'all? Like, you give me a flower and I put it on, I'm going, I got a dead plant on my jacket. You put a flower on a woman, they're like, oh, you gave me a flower. But you can't go get, you just can't pick one out of the yard. Now, that won't work. You got to buy a flower for it to count. Huh? So, Freddie, better give up on them daisies and start moving some roses, baby. I see what I'm saying? True? Helpless, harassed. Jesus said, I have compassion on them. You know what compassion is? It is God's love in motion. It is the action of God Himself. It is Jesus revealed. Look what He says. They were without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, that's us. How many of y'all glad to know we're part of these disciples? He said to His disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Elizabeth, if this one goes out on the internet, I would like all my preacher colleagues to know that there are plenty of lost people to fill up their church. You don't have to go steal other people's sheep. In fact, I think we ought to do it like the draft here in Bowling Green. That's been my theory. That you just put a draft up and you can trade members once a year. We just have a big draft. And that way you can get rid of what needs to be getting rid of, brought in what needs to be brought in. Just draft them. How many of y'all would make the cut? I mean, if all they're going to do is sit and listen to sermons, you just send them to a sermon guy. Huh? This would work if people would listen to me on this. It'd save a bunch of tension in the body of Christ. No, I want you to see the harvest is not what's in the church. The harvest is what's in the field. Let me tell you, we're missing that, folks. We're missing it. Can I say one more time? We're what? We're missing it. You better hear me. As long as I'm going to be your pastor, and I plan on it a while if y'all will keep me, we're going to be about making sure that people that don't know Jesus Christ know Jesus Christ. Because guess what? Nobody else cares about that anymore in the Southern Baptist Convention. They had a chance to elect a guy who knew how to win souls, and they chose to elect a guy who paid more money. Where's their heart? Run the organization. Did you notice it's really interesting in this text? Jesus doesn't say anything about the organization. He doesn't say, and he looked at the organization and saw that it was dysfunctional. And he had great compassion. No, he looked at the crowds of people that were still blind and couldn't see, were still dead. And guess what he said? He said, the harvest is plentiful. There are plenty of people that want to come to church. What do you think about that? Am I telling you the truth? Y'all want to hear the number one reason people don't come to church now? Back in the 90s, it was because they were bored to death. Well, the church has adjusted a little bit in the past, 16 years? 20 years for sure. Number one reason people don't attend church, guess what it is? Nobody asked them to come. I don't know about y'all, but see, guy's calling in. He said, y'all better listen to this. He's telling you what's going on right now. It's my heartbeat right here. How many of y'all look at the crowds and say, you know what? I want you to know Jesus. He's the playmaker. And however he plays you after that is fine with me. Now, you know what I think we've gotten caught up in? The action of the play instead of the playmaker. Let me show you. If you worship, you're worshiping the wrong thing. If you worship preaching and don't follow the preaching and the teaching, then you didn't get it. If you worship how you do it instead of who is doing it, you'll always get off track. Does that make sense? How many of y'all, give me a little handshake here, a little hand wave if it makes sense. Come on, get a little charismatic. Okay. Is that y'all getting that? That makes sense. Look at all the religious arguments. They're not overreaching lost people. They're over expressions of faith. You know? I mean, one puts them all the way under. One puts a sprinkle on top. One puts three drops. You know, God said, he's not into all that. He said, you know what? I see people that need a relationship with me. I'm willing to shed real blood for them. I'm willing to make sure that I rise again for them. I'm willing to be so obedient to my daddy that the rest of the world gets blessed. He wants us to share that attitude. I'll take my life so some other people will get better. That's the bottom line. Plentiful. How many of y'all got a friend that just needs to know Jesus would really do something great in their life? Quit making it so complex. All right, I'm going to train y'all. Y'all ready? This is a training moment. Let's have a training moment. Let's be real Baptist. We're going to have a training session. We're now in training union. Here's the way you do that. Hey. Depends, you know, how you make a greeting approach. Hello. What's up? Just whatever one you use. Would you come to church with me? All right, you're trained. That'll get them in church. If they come to this church, what are they going to hear about?
Jesus.
There you go. So I'm giving you a freebie. I'm not going to preach on the eschatology of Mars and how that might interface with the understanding of America's psychology. So you're safe here. They're going to hear about a cross and resurrection. We're going to sing, Dale Brown. We're going to sing, oh, by the blood of Jesus. So people will get what? This must be about the blood of Jesus. Now, I know some of you say, well, that's not deep enough for me. Then I want to encourage you to go learn the Gospels. I want to be in the deeper things of faith. Yeah, so did Satan. He got real deep, by the way. All the way out of the understanding of God into his own depth. Same place I get when I want to do it better than God. How many of y'all ever want to do it better than God? How many of y'all have even said this? If I was God, I'd do it. It's different. Yeah. I love that movie. It's got Jim Carrey in it when he became God. You think he messed it up. I was looking at that movie going, man, I would really mess it up. I mean, he blew the whole lottery system. And I never thought about it in that movie when he started hearing all those prayers, you know, come. I thought, man, when does God get a vacation? I think about how much I gripe. And then you got to multiply that by 6.2 million gripes daily. Glad God doesn't get stressed, aren't you? Glad God doesn't take off, aren't you? I'm glad God didn't look at the crowds and just say, this is too much for me. But he said, I'm going to step in. Now, I want to tell you, you want to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, step in. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. They always are. Now, you workers, a lot of y'all are workers in here. I want you to put a new mentality in. Quit worrying about who's not working and just do the work. Amen. How many of y'all notice that? In when the church meets together, the first thing people will do is look around and see who's not there. You know why they're not there? Because they're not a player. Now, let me help you with something. People that want to be into something do a better job than people that have to be coerced into something. So I really want to enlighten you. Quit worrying about who is not there. And start making sure that Jesus is there. Because if he's there, guess what? You got enough to get it done. Amen? So don't panic. The church is not about numbers. It's about faithfulness. And I have found that a few that are faithful can do more than a crowd that is helpless and harassed. You and I are not harassed anymore. How many of y'all are glad of that? Amen? All right. I'm done. Y'all know what to do? This was a get her done sermon today. What do we need to do? Okay, we need to come in here and worship. We need to worship our socks off. Amen? And who are we worshiping? Jesus. We can raise our hands and shout hallelujah. Man, I'm all for that. Okay? That, you know, boom, let's get ready to go. Oh, all right. But guess what? After you do all that, you better do something out there. You better do something out there. I was at a service one time, man, it broke loose. We had all kinds of stuff going on. Pastor came up to me and he said, well, we're an Acts 2 church. That was an Acts 2 moment. I said, it was not. Nobody got saved. What an Acts 2 moment. He said, preacher, you're harsh. I said, I'm in the Bible. I said, when the tongues of fire fall, there better be some crowd getting affected. And if their tongues of fire are falling and there's no Jesus being preached and there's no salvation happening, that's not Acts 2. That Acts 2. They got energized to bless, not energized to be glorified. Yeah. See, the devil's sneaky. He is a sneaky little sucker. Amen? Church wants to get passionate. Guess what the devil does? He knows he can't stop it. Guess what the devil fears more than anything? That you all get this out there. He'll pour the blessings down here. He's tried to cut deals with me all the time at Hillview. He said, Ayers, I tell you what, I'll cut you a deal. I'll give you what you got here if you just stay out of the county. Stay out of the state. Don't get this stuff anywhere else. I mean, the devil's not a bad businessman. He'll surrender $10,000 to take out $2 million. See, because he can't work unlimited. And he dreads the day that you figure out you can. He dreads the day that you figure out that you follow a Jesus who died on the cross, has risen from the grave, has empowered you with all kinds of possibility, has made you with deep purpose and meaning, has allowed you to live, and even when you die, you will reside with Him at the right hand of God. When you figure that out, He knows once the Holy Ghost knocks you down with the reality of God's power, He knows you will become an unstoppable reality. He hates that. That's why He wants to keep you religious. Because you can stop religious people. All you got to do is mention one of the things that gets them all in a tizz, and they're off track for months. You just got to go with stuff like this with them. Well, I don't believe in prayer in school. And they just fall apart. And they'll go, well, you ain't a Christian. I say, what gospel are you reading from? If I submit my life to prayer in school, I become a follower of Christ? See, look, with all good morals, they've totally derailed and become a lost sheep, speaking religion the whole time. Jesus said, I've come to forgive you of all your sin so that you can be connected to my possibility, so the kingdom of earth can be rattled by the kingdom of heaven. So I'm going to ask you to do something this week. Shake it up a bit. Work a little bit. We're going to need some workers, especially in children's ministry. Everybody's had babies here lately. Now, you can pray about this for a long time, but they're growing as you pray. And I've never prayed a set of diapers on. I've had to change them. It's called incarnation. The spirit of my heart with the reality of humanity, with the love of Jesus, putting that in the diaper pail. Because they still do that when they come to church. Y'all realize that? The Holy Spirit don't lock them up for 3 hours. They still have human needs. I'm being real here. And you know what they need? They need some loving people. You know what I'm excited about? Guess what some of our babies, they get to be held by Brother Duvall over there. I mean, if I was a baby, I'd like to be in that big old hand of his. I mean, Mr. Duvall got a hand that big. And he puts that little baby in his arms with all compassion. And I believe this. While he's holding that little baby full of the Holy Ghost, I believe God ministers unseen to that little baby. I believe that. I believe when these little boys in our children's group who don't have a daddy, when they see that male teacher walk in and go, Jack, how you doing today? Well, I skint my knee. Now, you'll get over that. See, they need to hear that, or they're going to be talking about their knee for the next 40 years. See, they need a daddy moment where your knee's all right. I'm sorry you heard it, but it's going to get well. Now, we're going to have a good night tonight. So he starts changing that mentality at 4 years old. So Pastor Mark doesn't have to go through 5 hours of counseling every day when they're 40 years old. Because their wife has hurt their feelings and they need to get a divorce. You know why? Because somebody didn't toughen them up along the way. Miss Goff, I want them sincerely in Christ. So when they get to you as a teenager, guess what? They know how to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And when you say you need to get to class, they say you're right in the name of Jesus. I'm on my way, Miss Goff. And they might learn something so they would have an education so they would be able to navigate. While I'm on a roll today, let me help you. Jesus was all for us learning. He was learned Himself. Educated. And if you look at the playmakers, I think the Apostle Paul was a playmaker. What do you think? You think he was a playmaker? He didn't fall off the tractor and get an anointing. He came out of the university of his time, knew how to navigate multicultures. And God said, since you have that, now I can use that in the kingdom. That's why you can minister to the Gentiles. And Peter never could, because he never learned how they thought. You see, never lose this. The key to the faith is incarnation, the Spirit of God inhabiting human flesh, creating all possibility. If you believe that's good news, go ahead and stand up. Thank you, Lord. Now today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, let me give you some good news. Let me give you some good news. Today, listen, I want y'all to be serious. Well, I don't know what we got to do right now. I know what we got to do right now, and that's to make sure people are connected to Jesus. So I want you to focus in here. Y'all scaring me a little bit. You're almost getting like regular church folks. You're going, it's about time to leave. It may not be. We may stay here all day. How many of y'all would stay here all day if God said we're going to stay here all day? If God said it, not me, God. I would if God said it. Now listen, there are people in this auditorium that don't know Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, you just heard a sermon on about being a worker. One way you can work right now is that this invitation is just pray. God, whoever doesn't know you, I want them to know you. That's simple enough, isn't it? If you don't know Jesus Christ, guess what? He wants to know you. That's the good news. Now, I know running through your head right now, how many of y'all have run through your head? Every bad thing you've ever done in your life. Well, if you do, hallelujah, He forgave it. He said, Pastor, you don't know how many beers I drank. I said, you don't know how much blood flowed. Blood trumps beer. Blood trumps sin. Blood trumps it all. Well, Pastor, as you don't understand, I went through a divorce. I want you to know that the blood of Jesus will bring you into a right relationship. I don't know about y'all, but the blood of Jesus I sing about is 200 proof. It's pure. If you just get around it, it'll shake you down. But Jesus said, don't get around it. He said, drink the cup. Put it in you. So today, some of you may need to come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I know I've sinned. I know I need to be forgiven. I know I need to be redeemed. Come into my life. Some of you have already done that this week. You've asked Jesus to come into your life on a Wednesday night worship service. You walked out of here and you said, well, I don't know. Need to be baptized. Listen, the more I go in this field, the more God's showing me something about baptism, man. This is an important issue. And I think we've played it off in the church. We've skirted around the issue. It's an important issue. There's no magic in the water. I don't believe that. But I do believe this. There's power in that confession. There's power in that confession. And I would have to say those that come out of my tradition, I would never call baptism a mere symbol. I call it a command of Jesus. He said, be baptized. In the name of who? Jesus. By the power of what? The Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen? Today you may need to come and say, man, I've been putting off baptism. I've been disobedient in that issue. God wants you to be obedient. Be obedient. Amen? Y'all sense a little urgency in my spirit today? How many of y'all sense that? There's a reason for that. The harvest is out there right now. It may not always be out there. So while the sun's up, we better rake the hay. And they're not calling for rain today, so we better rake the hay. But there'll be a day when it's going to be hard to get to the harvest. I have those occasions sometimes. It's hard to lead somebody to the Lord when they're in a coma. I wouldn't wait till I was in a coma to start considering my eternal destiny. I believe I'd get her done today. Amen. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, how many of you all need to come to this altar today and say, God, I want my life used for the purpose of your harvest. Yeah? Well, let's come. Let's just open this altar. Lord, right now the Holy Spirit's in this place. Been here long before we got here. And we want to flow with it. Lord, I want to invite everybody in this church to this altar, believer and yet to believe, right now to pray. And Lord, I pray right now that we would have an anointing in this church to begin to see the harvest that we can't see. Lord, I remember those hot fall days. Chopping tobacco. It was work. And Lord, I pray that we would put the work into this church. Lord, I pray that there's not a position in this church that stays unfilled. I pray that we will have workers and harvesters. And now if you need to come to Jesus Christ right now, just ask Him into your life. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I've sinned. I know I hadn't been obedient to what You wanted me to be. But Jesus, today I want to give my life to you. Tell him. And if you're doing that, come up. We won't talk to you, man, all right? Why don't you let it go today? Why don't you let it go today, my friend? Let it go today. Maybe you need to be baptized. You've never been baptized. You need to come and say, today you need to be baptized. All right, listen, the altar's open, man. People are praying. Come on, don't miss out on the blessing today. Some of y'all stand there and I see God telling you, oh, go on up there, man. I got a blessing for you. And you don't want to take the blessing. Why not have the blessing? Why not have the blessing of God? Come on, just let it be. Let it be. Come on, church, let it be. Amen. Amen. Amen.